All right, let's look at question 98. What is prayer?
Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies.
Question 99. What rule hath God given for our direction in prayer?
The whole Word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught His disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer.
Good. All right. So, what topic have we been discussing the last few weeks? The means of grace, that's right. And what are the three means of grace, or especially the three means of grace according to the Catechism?
The Word,
sacraments, and prayer. Good. And so we've done Word, we've done sacraments, and now we're on prayer. So we are going to then turn and begin to think about prayer. And this is really the last part of the Catechism. From here until the very end, question 107, that's our final topic. And what we're going to do today is look at prayer in general. But then next week, beginning next week, we'll start to look at prayer from the Lord's Prayer. In other words, questions 100 to 107 all talk about different aspects of the Lord's Prayer. And this really comes in line with what we're looking at here. It says in question 99, what rule has God given for our direction in prayer? And what's the special rule that God has given us, according to the Catechism?
The Lord's Prayer.
That's right. But it says, where else can we find how to pray besides just the Lord's Prayer? The whole Word of God. And so what we're going to look at today is more of the whole Word of God. And then on the remaining questions, we're going to look more specifically at the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to talk about the very things that we see here in question 98, the different aspects of prayer. We're going to look at them from a big perspective in the Bible. What passages, for example, do we see that tell us these are the ways we should be praying? And so, does that make sense? So, that's kind of addressing question 99. 99 is really one of those outline questions that you get in the Catechism where it points us of what we're going to do next. And 99 really is introducing that the last section of the Catechism is going to dig into the Lord's Prayer. And now let's step back and look at Scripture as a whole as we look at 98. And so question 98, what is prayer? Let's dissect this question. When we talk about what is prayer, maybe a question to begin with is, to who do we pray? Or to whom do we pray?
God,
that's right. Now, we all said that right away, real quick. Does everyone agree? We all agree, I mean, but does everyone in the world agree?
No.
Vera, who else might people want to pray to?
Buddha, I've heard.
Okay.
Allah.
So other gods, that's right.
Allah.
Many false gods. Of course, Scripture talks about our God being a jealous God. That He is the one true God. That's, you know, gets at the first and second commandments, right? Tony, do you ever, in your nun experience, see anyone praying to anyone other than God?
Well, yes, of course, to the saints, canonized by the Catholic Church. Many people pray to their deceased relatives.
Ancestor worship is very common, a lot in the East especially.
Some of whom do not even know the Lord.
Yeah.
Amazing. I went to a funeral just past week, and I mean, people are already saying that the deceased person is in heaven and is looking down on us and is going to provide for us. And it's quite an interesting, misleading, I should say. They're so misled.
Absolutely. Jules, did you have a...
Well, I saw a bumper strip several times. I pray to our goddess.
Ah, yeah.
That's something.
Some of this new age sort of spiritualism or old school polytheism still working its way out.
I still had a question to clarify something. When we pray to God, do we pray to the Father or to Jesus Christ?
That is in my notes, but I'll answer it now since you asked it. It's as good a time as any to bring it out. I think it is fitting to pray to any of the persons of the Godhead, and all the persons of the Godhead. So, in other words, you can pray, dear Triune God, or dear God in general. But you can also pray, Father, do this, please, or praise you, Father, or Holy Spirit, or Jesus. And maybe an example might be, you can flip my note here, I have a verse as a sort of analogy of that. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, this is really often used as a benediction, but I do think it's fair to see it as a sort of prayer, where it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's a sort of prayer, I think. And in that case, right, we're addressing each of the persons in the Godhead. And I think that is fitting to do. And especially when theologically we think about the different works of each of the persons in the Trinity, then it's fitting to appeal to that person in the Trinity for that work. If we know that the Spirit illumines us, we pray, Spirit, illumine us. Open our hearts and minds to understand your word. If we think about the death and resurrection of Jesus, obviously Jesus is the one who died on the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving up your life to die on the cross. Thank you that you heeded your Father's command to go to the cross. Things like that. So I think it's very fitting. But obviously we see plenty of places in Scripture that aren't breaking out specifically each person in the Trinity, in which case it's also appropriate to pray to the triune God directly as well. Tony?
I've just seen in our hymnal 106 and 107, each verse is dedicated to one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Savior, Spirit, Father, Jesus, Spirit.
Mm. Good.
The Trinity has examples. I mean, our Trinity hymnal has examples of prayer.
Absolutely. And that's very, you know, a good point, too, is that our prayer and praise has a close connection. And, you know, our praise is essentially a sort of prayer put to music. And so I think that's a very good example, Tony. Thank you. Yeah. So, going back to the question of who do we pray to? We said there's false gods that we pray to, false goddesses we pray to, saints, deceased people, to Mary. Did you ever hear prayers to angels? Is that fair to say that?
Oh, yes,
yeah, prayers to angels.
Growing up, angel of God, my guardian dear, through whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide.
Yeah.
In my desk at school, I would move over at the teacher's command to leave room for my angel to sit. And that was their way of making us conscious that we had a guider.
Yeah. And we think about praying to an angel, or to Mary, or to a saint. Are those? What's the difference between those and praying to God? Might seem obvious, but it's helpful to point out the other. What's the difference?
Well, they're human beings. They're
angels aren't human beings.
But they're spirits created by God.
Created, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Those things are all creatures. God is not created by anyone. God's the one who is all-powerful, who deserves our prayers and praises, who answers things. The angels are in submission to God. They're His servants to do His bidding. We need to go to the source. And the beauty is that we have a hearing in Christ to be able to go to the source. We'll talk about that more in a second. Of course, the Lord's Prayer is an example of this, right? You pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. And you have passages like Isaiah. I'll just reference them briefly here. That talk about there's only one God. Isaiah 43, 10, 11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other. Or Isaiah 45, 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 46, 9. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. You know, there is one God. He demands us to call upon Him. We just don't see anywhere in Scripture where we're told to call upon other creatures. If we're going to find help, it's in the Lord. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The pattern we see over and over in Scripture is God calling us to turn to Him, not to other creatures. Yes?
I've always kind of felt that the entire Trinity is involved in prayer. Mm. And is it a true statement thoroughly if you'd say, pray to the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit?
I would not have a problem with that statement. You know, it's kind of like it'll get into the catechism here that we pray in the name of Jesus, right? And so certainly we can think about our relationship to the persons from that perspective of how God has worked salvation by sending Jesus and now applying it to us by the Holy Spirit. And so certainly I would say that that is a fitting way to think about approaching God, while at the same time not wanting to say we can't pray directly to Jesus or to the Spirit. So, but certainly as a general way of approaching God, that's how we approach Him. We approach God because of the blood of Jesus Christ and by the working of the Spirit that even gives us a hearing spiritually before the Lord, bringing our prayers before Him. So certainly I would say hearty amen. what's the other thing you need to have when you pray to God?
Faith.
That's right. You read my mind. I wondered if anybody would get that because it's kind of a vague question. What was the statement you said?
I'm going to say a pure heart.
Hmm.
They say you can't go, God, we're all sinners.
Hmm.
But if we cleanse our heart, before we go and stand before Him and ask mercy, I think we not only put ourselves in an attitude of submission to God, but in acknowledging that we depend on Him.
Well, maybe that's similar to what Vera was saying too. You know, how are we able to come before Him? How can our hearts even be able to come before Him? It's because the Spirit has worked inside us, regenerated us, and God hears us because we're His own. And so I think there... That might be a very related point to what she was making, too.
I think just the act of prayer itself is an act of faith.
Mm. Yeah, and I wanted to read James 1:5 in light of the answer of faith there. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So when we pray, we need to have faith. And I would go as far as to say, and this may be the follow-up to what Tony was just getting at, if you don't pray in faith, you really haven't prayed. If you don't pray in faith, you really haven't prayed. You know, if we're talking about to who do we pray? To whom do we pray? We're praying to God. But if you don't believe God exists, then you're not really praying to God, are you? I don't know what you're doing, but you're not really praying to God.
But I'm thinking the person who has faith would pray. If they don't have faith, they wouldn't address God.
That's true.
They don't believe in Him.
And maybe that's what James is getting at later in his letter when he calls into question some of the people's faith, right? Faith without works is dead. And I think he brings out some of the people that he might be writing to maybe claiming to have faith, but their very actions show that they don't have faith. And if you are praying to God, but you really are doubting the whole time and have no real assurance that He's going to hear you, then that does bring into question whether you really have faith. And, of course, that doesn't mean when we pray we don't ever have doubts. I think we all can, if we're honest with ourselves, realize we have our doubts when we pray. And yet, this is a reminder to look to God even in the midst of our doubts, and that to believe even when we struggle believing. So... yeah, I think you're right, James. You know, the very context of James gets into that, I think. Yeah. Obviously, we know from other places in Scripture that we don't really turn to God unless God has first worked a saving faith in our heart, which, you know, should sober us when we see so many people praying who we know are not Christian and have no real concept of the Christian faith, and that gets into...
Are they praying or just mouthing words?
We'll get into that in a moment. Part of what I'll address in a moment here. Jules.
When I was first born again, I prayed only to Jesus because I felt He experienced the same things I experienced because He was a man and He was God both.
Mm.
Then later on, and more recently, I prayed to the Father. But I remember I encountered the verse, pray without ceasing. And I sort of said, I've got other things to do, obligations and stuff too, you know. So I didn't really understand that verse, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? you know, in one aspect, I think people say pray without ceasing means to regularly, chronically be bringing prayers before the Lord. And other people say, no, it really means we have an obligation to always be communing with the Lord. And if that is what it means, then we realize how far we fall short of God's glory. That certainly doesn't God deserve our regular bringing of Him praises before His name. And yet at the same time, we know as well that he has told us to work hard. And so whatever we do, in word or deed, let's do it under the glory of God. And so even when we're working, it can still be in service of God. So I don't know if I fully answered your question, but gave you some principles to think about. And maybe as we continue to look through this, flesh out some of it too. So we talked about, to who do we pray? To whom do we pray? God. What are the parts of prayer? The catechism question gives us some parts of prayer. What's the first part of prayer does it give us?
Offering our desires.
Okay, good. What's a more big word for describing offering our desires?
Petitions.
Petitions, okay, good. Supplications is another one. Petitions, supplications. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's got six specific petitions. Six specific requests of God. And that's what the last six questions... Actually, I think it's... not the last six, but almost the last six. The last one's a conclusion, I think. But the last six get into the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And so we see it in the Lord's Prayer, but we see it in other places too. Can anybody think of any passages in the Bible that tell us that we should go to the Lord with our petitions?
James does.
James, we just read one, right, in James. So we can't use that one. That'd be cheating. But if there's other ones in James, which there probably certainly are.
Ephesians.
Tell me Ephesians.
Praying always with a prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Oh, good. Good. And mind you, this is just... There's lots of scriptures, right? We could do a long survey. That's a good one. One I had down was Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Here's a good one. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen. That's a very good one. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of places, Jules.
Psalm 70. Prayer for relief from adversaries. I have a few of those.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah, that's it doesn't take too long, does it? We can all, if we think about it, remember some verses right away that tell us God wants to hear our desires. Julie.
Colossians, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way.
Amen. And that heart of praying for each other is part of what we should be praying for too. Yeah. And isn't it amazing? We talked earlier about how we pray to God. And we don't pray to angels or other humans or false gods. And we said that's why. Why don't we pray to them? They're not the creator, they are creatures, right? And yet, think about this. The creator of the universe wants us to bring prayer requests to him. Wants us to come to him. That it's throughout scriptures, it's hard not to find passages like this that urge us to come to him. So, there's some other passages, I think, that tell us specific things to be praying for, or specific contexts for when we bring our prayers to him. And maybe, for example, Tony's passage that she read from Philippians 4. Say we bring our requests in the context of struggles, where we might otherwise worry and get stressed out. Or in Julie's passage, when, you know, in the context of others that you have a relationship with, lifting up even things on their behalf. Or, for example, I have one here just in affliction in general. Exodus 2:23 says the people are under Egyptian slavery. It's talking about that. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And that's in the very next chapter, is that burning bush passage that we looked at just a few weeks ago. That in response to hearing the cry of his people, he acts. He remembers his covenant. If that was true back then, don't you think it's going to continue to be true now when we appeal in the name of Jesus Christ that the Lord would hear our troubles and afflictions, that the Lord would remember the new covenant that he's made with his people through the blood of Jesus Christ? In affliction is another context for when we bring these prayers to God. I think of Exodus 22. It talks about if someone afflicts a widow or a fatherless child, an orphan, right? It says in Exodus 22, if you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. God hears the cries of the orphans and the widows. God hears our cries. So, how do we pray then for things agreeable to whose will?
God's will,
right? Yes. And this is part of bringing our petitions to him, right? It says in the question that when we offer up these desires to God, we do it for things agreeable to his will. Anybody think any passages that tell us this? That we pray according to God's will?
The Our Father.
The Our Father, yep. Good. And I have another one here. There's plenty of them. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's encouragement, isn't it?
He hears us, but does he answer us?
Well,
I have no doubt that God hears my prayer. I don't always know which ones he's going to answer.
And I think you're right. I think he answers sometimes in ways other than what we expect.
Yes.
And the reason why I'd like to, you know, help us think about this is we've been given God's revealed will. His revealed will. But Scripture also talks about him having a secret will. Deuteronomy 29:29, for example, says that there are certain things that have been revealed to us and certain things that God has kept secret. That we don't know everything that God is going to do in history. And so when we are to pray according to his will, ultimately we are praying according to his revealed will. And trust that when the answers don't happen the way we think they should, that God in his secret will has the best plan, ordered all of human history to make his great plan come forth, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And so we do have to keep in mind that when we pray, we might pray according to his revealed will and not see the answer come forth right then and there that we're expecting. But that's because God's ways are higher than our ways. He is going to bring about all things beautifully.
You know, I pray for our leaders, our political leaders, that God would give them wisdom and integrity. I know many of them are not Christian. And yet I am praying for God to bless these people.
Yeah. That's a good example, actually. You know, think about praying his revealed will versus his secret will. We know, that God tells us to pray for our leaders. That's his revealed will. We know that God wants leaders to be obedient to him, to be righteous, to follow his laws. We know that's all part of his revealed will. So, you know, if we take this too simplistically, we'd say, Lord, I prayed this in your will. Why hasn't it happened? But we also have to recognize God's secret will, that God allows different evils to happen at times. We've seen that repeatedly. But he is in control in the overall big plan and in the details to bring about a plan and purpose that he's told us. That we don't know how it's all going to work out in the journey along the way. But that's part of faith, and that's part of we're called to pray according to his will and submit ourselves to his will, even for the things we don't know. So I think that's a very good example. You know, I think we can all think of different examples like that in our prayer life, where we know God tells us to pray in certain ways. And yet we have to trust, when we don't see the answer that we want, that He has heard our prayer and that He is at work and that He wants us to still keep praying that way. Questions?
And I guess we pray for sinners all the time.
Absolutely, ourselves included.
Yes, of course, but there's degrees of sin, and I know one sin is...
Well, you also might mean sinners versus unredeemed sinners, pagans versus saints. There is a difference there.
And does God want us to pray for sinners? Obviously He does, because many of our leaders are unredeemed sinners.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so He still asks us to pray for them.
I think so, yep.
And I believe that our prayers can bless them.
Absolutely. I do too. Even if it doesn't mean in a saving way. God sends rain to shine on the good and the evil. And so I think that God can even use our prayers to work in people's lives that aren't Christians, that might have some tangible immediate benefits for them, but I think that ultimately they're in service to God's plan of redemption. So whatever benefits that might even be for those leaders, it's got a bigger plan and perspective to ultimately to benefit God's people, is what I was getting at.
A study was conducted several years ago at UCSF. A number of sick people were assigned people who would pray for them daily, weekly, or not at all. And I don't have the article, but it was divided into thirds. The people who were prayed for consistently were either healed, needed less medication, needed less visits to the doctors as compared to those who were not prayed for. And this was an article published in Reader's Digest.
And to balance that out, I've also seen other studies that they're shown that there's no difference for that same sort of thing. And I would say that doesn't prove anything, because God says don't test Him. And if people are doing studies to try to prove God's hearing of Him...
To pray that prayer is advantageous, is what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And so your studies have shown it doesn't matter when...
Not my studies, but I mean, I've seen pagans retort and say, look at these studies that were done, clinical studies where people were praying for and people weren't, and they haven't seen any difference.
Well, how do they know?
Well, how did the other study know that you just poured his
ear? Because actually, they had less need for medication, less need for doctor visits.
So what I'm saying is that their studies were looking at those same sorts of factors.
And people can be healed internally. It's not just external.
Exactly.
This particular prayer program studied external.
So what I'm suggesting is that that's, fundamentally dangerous thing to put too much weight into, I guess. And because I think they can bring out their studies, we can bring out their studies, but we don't know the mind of God. Like you said, who knows the sort of effects that those prayers have made for people? We all know what we're going to die, right? And so how do we know that God didn't use the prayers of those people to bring them to a saving faith just before they die? Or that they would die well persevering in their faith? In other words, right, there's so many factors that a test like that can't study or can't weigh in on. And so we have to be careful.
Impressed. I got to tell you, I was impressed. I became a believer even more in the power of prayer. Mm. And I guess let me stay in my dream world.
in which case, let's move on. I think we need to beware of wrong motivations in our prayer requests. If we're going to pray for things agreeable to His will, we have to search our prayer motivations. Proverbs 16:2-3 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We need to commit to the Lord whatever we do, that proverb says. And you have a passage like James 4 that tells us, it says in James 4, you do not have because you do not ask, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so we have to be careful when we pray that our motivations are proper. And that's such a hard thing to do, because we can trick ourselves in our motivations, can't we? We can think we're doing one thing for a good motivation and then realize there's some other secret agenda inside. We may want to serve that church really well, but then part of us just wants to be praised by men. That's what the Pharisees struggle with, right? They prayed on the street corners. And anytime we ask, people say, kind of simplistically, to maybe children's Sunday schools, oh, when you pray, that's great, but don't pray for things like a motorcycle. Lord, give me a motorcycle, the four-year-old, right? But if you think about that, when you get older and you start thinking through your prayer request, maybe it is quite fitting. Lord, I have no transportation. I'd really like to be able to start going to church on Sunday. I have trouble getting there right now. Lord, would you provide some cheap form of transportation? Maybe something great gas mileage, like a motorcycle, so I can get to church. You know what I'm saying? That it's hard to say one thing right away for sure is not a good prayer request, but we do need to search our motives. Are we doing it for the glory of God to see how we can serve God better? Or is there, like as James is saying here, a desire to be clinging to the world? And a good test case for this is back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Seek first whose kingdom?
His kingdom.
And his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. That's the priority, isn't it? In our prayer life. Seek first the kingdom of God. We need to have a right priority in our prayer life. And that's closely connected to our motivations in our prayer.
Someone told me something St. Augustine said. Love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole will, your whole soul, and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And pray with what you want. Mm. Pray for what you want.
Mm.
How does that sound?
Amen.
It sounds very good.
It does. Yeah. Mm. Anybody remember the story of the persistent widow in Luke? Jesus told a parable about the persistent widow.
Oh, yes.
What was your story here? Were you shaking your head?
I'm shaking my head because I'm not sure which one you're referring
to. Ben, do you know the story of the persistent widow? Who knows the story of the persistent widow? Jeff.
You know, the persistent widow had a problem with an evil judge, and the evil judge didn't care about giving her any kind of right judgment, but he did care about her coming to him all the time and wearing him out. So so to get rid of her, he gave her a right judgment.
Yeah.
And that's obviously to tell us that that God is not that evil judge, but we need to continue to go to God to be that persistent widow.
Absolutely.
That persistent prayer.
It was the persistent widow who was a good one. The God isn't saying he's the wicked judge like you're saying. But if a wicked judge is willing to respond in that way to the persistent widow, how much more is our righteous judge going to hear our case and wants us to keep persistently coming? And when we don't see our prayers answered, to keep persistently coming to him.
Yeah.
But that's in Luke 18 if you want to study that on your own. So we are about out of time. We had a couple more elements still left here. We're going to look at confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And then we're going to talk about how it's done in the name of Christ. So we got a lot left here. So we're going to save it for next week. And let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the good discussion that we've had here today. We thank you that you are a God who wants to hear our prayers, who wants us to bring them to you, who wants us to bring them to you persistently, according to your revealed will, who wants us to come in faith to you, trusting that you do hear our prayers, that you are the only God. Lord, we pray as we study about prayer, Lord, that you would refine our prayers. Help us to pray more according to the ways you've instructed us to. Lord, it would be foolish to think that we just somehow innately know how to pray, Lord, and yet we find in your scripture that you teach us how to pray. And so, Lord, let us be students of prayer. Lord, we know that in our most basic, simple ways, we can come to you as a young child coming to a father. Lord, may nothing we do here stop that from happening, but Lord, at the same time, let us to grow up in our prayer life as well. Help us to mature in our prayer life, Lord. Help us to pray your scriptures more, Lord. Help us to reflect on your scriptures that will then encourage how we pray, Father. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessings now on the worship service that will be starting in a few minutes, Lord. Continue to be at work here at Trinity. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.